D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
There is a battle raging in our time, one claiming many casualties. But it may not be the battle you think. Find out more on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. We are indeed a nation at war, and not just with radical Islam. We are in a protracted battle for the heart and soul of America. We are in a battle of worldviews, or as my friend Robbie George puts it, we're in a clash of orthodoxies. Calling it a culture war doesn't begin to describe its true character. It is an effort to drive every vestige of religious expression from the public square. It is a war on Christianity. So the question becomes, what should the Christian response be to the assault of radical secularism? Some argue we should just preach the gospel and ignore everything else going on. Yet the gospel speaks to more than just the realm of personal morality and ethics. It declares the Lord sovereign over all things and all of life. We caught up with our friend Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, to ask his opinions on this battle. Well, Tony, thanks for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Dr. Wright, as always, great to be with you.
Let's talk about some of the specifics of executive actions that have placed the Republic in such jeopardy. Let's talk a little bit about the separation of powers. Help people understand why the founders thought that was important and why its demise could be the demise of the Republic.
Well, I think we've seen this imbalance in the separation of powers, three equal branches of government, but recently with the death of Antonin Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, we've seen this rush to replace him because the court has become like a super legislative body, in many ways controlled and influenced by the president. Not at the moment, but you know, they place their person on the court, which has long-term implications for the country. Never intended to be that way. It was intended that they simply were the referees that called balls and strikes, and that's not the case today. And so we've seen this president who has pushed the envelope on executive power, whether it was the issue of immigration, whether it was the issue of appointment, of recess appointments. Right. And in fact, some cases the court has slapped him down and saying he has exceeded his power, but he doesn't seem intimidated by that at all. And you've seen a Congress that I think in many ways has been emasculated. They have stepped back and capitulated to a ever overreaching executive branch.
Chief Justice John Jay, first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, speaking about the Christian character of the American nation, said it's wise for people to consider Christians for their rulers, for their leaders. What's your view of that today? I mean, do all of our elected officials need to be Christians? What's the matrix that you use in evaluating a candidate and their faith and how that relates to where they...
Well, Frank, I think if we're truly going to operate from a biblical worldview as Christians, which I think that we should use the Bible as our construct by which we live in society, whether that's how we conduct our business in our home, treat our families, our wives, our children, and raise them, whether it's how we engage in the marketplace, or whether it's how we engage in the public square. And, you know, we go back to the Old Testament where Jethro gave instructions to Moses on how we should he should select leaders, men who fear God, men who are able. And so I think we don't just default to some because someone says they're a Christian. That's not good enough. They need to be prepared, capable, and men who have a track record or women who have a track record of leading.
In some sense, you get the leaders you deserve.
You do. And it is a representation of who we are. But let me be very clear, Frank, and I know you agree with this. I know Dr. Kennedy would agree with this. Our salvation does not come from Washington, D.C. And I don't mean our eternal salvation. I'm talking about even our present salvation. But we have seen such an increase in hostility toward religious freedom and expression in this country that the ability to freely live out our faith in a way that impacts the world around us for Christ is at risk.
The Supreme Court vacancy that has occurred with the passing of Justice Antonin Scalia, it seems to me, is not like just the passing of any other justice, because the balance of the court has been hanging on this 5-4 knife edge, and it'll go one way sometimes and another way. This appointment, if filled with the wrong person, could change the character of the Supreme Court for how long?
This court has been actually pretty good on the religious freedom issues, going 5-4 in favor of religious freedom. This changes that with the passing of Justice Scalia. And if there is a liberal jurist appointed to replace him, the court has clearly shifted. And that shift, I mean, for instance, Justice Scalia, 29 years on the court. I mean, we're looking at individuals spending, you know, upwards of a generation. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, there's the desire is to appoint a young mm-hmm. judge who can stay there a long time. Mm-hmm. So this will have implications far beyond the president who makes the appointment.
Yeah, good. Thanks so much. We are grateful for Tony's service to the Lord and for his valuable insights. Interestingly, he told me that as a young man, he benefited from watching Dr. D. James Kennedy on television on a regular basis. Particularly, he appreciated the balance of evangelism and of the cultural mandate, sharing the gospel but also engaging the culture with the mind of Christ on important issues. Yet as Tony and others can testify, step into the public arena with biblical truth and you will face fierce opposition. Here is a portion of Dr. Kennedy's prophetic message on the current conflict in this nation entitled The Culture War in America.
We have in America today going on what may be called culture wars. But one thing that you never hear from the media is who started the war, right? Who did? Well, it's interesting that because of the blatant censorship that has gone on in our schools, colleges, for over a generation, we have a vast multitude of people who know nothing about the real founding of this country. They don't realize that what has happened is that this country, which for 300 years was a Christian nation since the pilgrims landed here, and in the last 50 years an increasing assault by atheists and agnostics and secularists and humanists of every communist, every stripe imaginable, they have had this unceasing barrage of attack against all of the Christian institutions of this country and have been enormously successful in taking over the entire public education system, taking over most of the media. In 1850, almost every newspaper in this country was operated, run, published by Christians. When did you last pick up a Christian newspaper? And we are simply saying it's time for Christians to defend the spiritual liberty and values that made this nation great. We didn't start the war. We didn't start it, but by the power of God's Holy Spirit, by the power of His gospel, by Christian men and women being committed to share the power of that gospel, which is the only power that can transform lives, we, by His grace, are going to end it. There are many people who are still enjoying many aspects of American life. But I remember the words of Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who gave one of the very last sermons that he ever preached shortly before he died, right from this pulpit. And he said that the problem in America, as it even Christians, are seeking only peace and prosperity, while they watch the whole culture slide into hell around them and do nothing about it. But if we continue the way that we're going, and if Christians do not begin to do something to change it, we are going to see both peace and prosperity utterly demolished in this nation. And we, who have sat by, as Dr. Schaeffer said, wanting only our own personal peace and prosperity, and have allowed these things to take place, we are going to be held responsible by God. And what can we do? Very quickly, two things. I've said them 1,000 times. I'll say them again, because they're the two things that God tells us to do. There is the Great Commission, first of all, that we need to proclaim the gospel of Christ to every creature. Do you know what the problem is? The problem is very simple. What is the problem with all of these people, with all of the ungodly people, the people that hate Christ and hate Christians and hate His Word? They have never been converted. That's their problem. We have, because of our own neglect and our own failure to obey the Great Commission, we've allowed an ever-growing number of heathen to spring up in this country, until they're virtually surrounding the church. The time has come now, while there is still a place to stand, to take a stand. What the ungodly and the immoral want from us is simply nothing more or less than our silence. And we have been all too willing to acquiesce and grant them that silence. We need to prepare ourselves to speak. We need to proclaim, first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is because of the disobedience of Christians in churches all across this land, their disobedience to the Great Commission, who told every person that names the name of Christ to go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And the vast majority of Christians in this nation have been totally disobedient to that commission. I would ask you, how many people have you personally led to Jesus Christ? It should be many. But those people that you haven't led to Jesus Christ are the people that are teaching your children all sorts of immoral and ungodly things. They're the people that should have been won to Christ in the last decade, in the last 50 years, in the last century, that haven't been won to Christ, who have been multiplying and taking over the institutions of this country, and now are banging on the doors of the church itself. We are told to go out on the offensive and proclaim the gospel of Christ. How long will we continue in this disobedience, refusing to do the central thing that Christ told us to do, to proclaim the gospel to a lost, immoral, increasingly anti-Christian, anti-God world? Dear friends, as we go from this conference, may we go with a new determination that we are going to serve Christ, we are going to make Him known, and we are going to become a part in some way of this society in which we live, to do something to change it back, to reclaim America for Christ. Will you do that? Do something toward that end that you haven't done before. unless we have people who have that commitment, there is no hope for this country.
One of the victims of the war on Christianity has been the religious freedom of all Americans, not just Christians. While the First Amendment guarantees all Americans the right to freely exercise their faith without interference from the government, today we hear some who would limit those protections to freedom of worship only. In other words, you can worship privately as you choose, but don't take your faith into the public square. And so it is that the forces of politically correct orthodoxy are on a collision course with the First Amendment rights of people with deep religious convictions. Here is our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb with more.
Religious liberty, I think, is almost public enemy number one for a great many segments of our society.
When the city of Phoenix expanded its non-discrimination policy to include sexual orientation and gender identity, it was hoping to protect people. But in reality, what has happened is that those who believe in traditional marriage are now essentially being told to give up that belief if they want to go into business in this city, to the point where they could even go to jail over the issue. Case in point, a Phoenix-based small business called Brush and Nib.
Brush and Nib, it's an LLC. It's a kind of a creative calligraphy and invitation company that's run by two young women in their mid-20s.
Creating beautiful things is what I like to do. It's a part of who I am. In every way, we just want to put as much of ourselves into our art as possible.
I planned to do it on my own originally. I had been experimenting with painting and was getting frustrated with the results, and I needed this other piece.
We met at Bible study, and she was nervous about funds and everything else, like saving up enough money to start her calligraphy business. And I was telling her, you know, that's really brave because I'm a painter and I would love to do that full time.
It was just a neat feeling because I remember her saying, her talking about painting and that triggering in my mind, what if we could work together? And just knowing that something like that was definitely God orchestrating and what could this turn into? And just gradually we came to realize that having the business together would be the best. And
I feel like it was completely a God thing that Joanna and I met. I think it was all in His timing and perfect.
I love to do calligraphy on all types of things, but weddings are really special.
Because they create wedding invitations for opposite-sex wedding ceremonies, the law requires them to do so to promote same-sex wedding ceremonies. That's one aspect of the law. Another aspect of the law that's equally as important is it essentially prevents our clients from expressing their religious beliefs in favor of traditional marriage or opposite-sex marriage on their websites.
The city of Phoenix says that if you want to run your business according to your religious beliefs, such that you are unwilling to create expressions celebrating same-sex marriages, or even announce publicly that your religious beliefs prohibit you from celebrating same-sex marriages, that you can be fined and also even thrown in jail if you do those things.
It issues jail time of up to 6 months and also criminal fines of up to $2,500 per day that someone violates the law. So each day adds up quickly, and you can imagine 6 months for each day, boom, 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 that could be a long jail term. So in effect, it prevents Christians in creative business professions from, it requires them to create art for events promoting same-sex marriage if they do so for events promoting opposite-sex marriage.
What would Brush and Nib say to the objection, well, you're not being tolerant?
They tolerate everybody. They create artwork for people of all different sexual orientations, of all different types of people. They just can't create art that promotes an event that violates their beliefs. And that should be true for every American. Whether a homosexual who owns a calligraphy company doesn't want to create artwork promoting a Christian event for traditional marriage, that's fine. They shouldn't have to do that.
Rather than wait for the city to lower the boom on their new business, Brush and Nib, with the help of the Alliance Defending Freedom, decided on a preemptive strike to get the onerous law declared unconstitutional.
Would Brush and Nib actually choose conscience over potentially jail time?
Yes, our clients would rather go to jail than violate their conscience, and they've said so to the court. Of course, they don't want to go to jail, as any sane person would want to do. They want to just live and believe and act as every other American can, just in accordance with their conscience and their scruples.
We hope to have the court tell the city of Phoenix, you can't enforce the law in a way that would require our clients at Brush and Nib Studio to create custom artwork that violates their religious beliefs.
As Americans, we have a strong belief in individual autonomy. If I say I don't want to do something, for the most part in America, you don't have to do it. That's part of what makes our country great.
Religious freedom is in many ways the bellwether of all our other freedoms. Remove religious freedom, and the other freedoms begin to fade with it. That's why our founders called it the first freedom. All others rest upon it. But unfortunately, the threat to religious liberty in our day is only one of many issues eating away at the social and political fabric of our nation. And amid all the division and confusion, clarity on these important issues is desperately needed. To help you be part of providing that clarity, we have developed a special opportunity to collectively make our voices heard to our elected representatives and to key representatives in the media. Here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, with more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The issues lying before us as a nation are as clear as they are momentous. President-elect Trump and our new Congress are in a position to move on issues of great importance, not only to you and me, but also to America. Yet our leaders need to hear from us so that they will better understand our determination to hold them to their promises. For in those promises, the very future of freedom may hang in the balance. To help you get and keep the attention of our political leaders on these issues, we've designed the 2017 Spiritual and Constitutional State of the Nation Survey so that your values and the values of thousands of committed Christian citizens across this country will be clearly and effectively communicated to the President, members of Congress, cabinet officials, and key media outlets. To receive your Spiritual State of the Nation survey, simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Pro-life, pro-family, and pro-faith friends like you were an important part of the catalyst that delivered such astounding election results this past November. You spoke out loudly and clearly for life, for religious liberty, and for the future welfare of our nation. You firmly rejected the radical anti-life and anti-freedom platform of the liberal socialists who were hijacking the nation. You have sent leaders to Washington, D.C., who have promised to stand for you and your values in the political battles that lie ahead. Now we want to make sure you will continue to be heard. Accountability must be the watchword of our day, or all the time, money, and effort expended in the electoral process will be for naught. Contact us today to join in the 2017 Spiritual State of the Nation survey. And as you do, will you please remember to include a generous gift to the ongoing work of this ministry? We really need you to stand with us financially as we seek to advance biblical truth and defend your freedoms. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
All of our freedoms are rooted in one idea. What is it? It's being free to live our lives according to the dictates of conscience. Think for a moment about the First Amendment. As you may know, it has five core components: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and the freedom to petition the government for the redress of grievances. All five of these liberties rest upon our freedom of conscience. Freedom of religion is no real freedom at all unless I'm free to worship God according to my conscience. In the same way, is my speech really free if my conscience is forcibly constrained? What about the free press? Or what about freedom of assembly? Even the right to petition the government for the redress of grievances is an empty promise if my conscience is subject to restraint. Of course, freedom of conscience is not an unlimited freedom. It does not override the just laws of the nation, nor does it override the consciences of others. In a constitutional republic like ours, the exercise of freedom is forever a balancing of interests. But beware those who claim to support the freedom of worship. This is a mendacious sleight of hand. By it, the enemies of freedom mean you can worship in the privacy of your own home or church, but not otherwise. You are free to worship, but keep it within the confines of your stained glass ghettos. Thank you very much. The founders of the American Republic recognized this inclination of government to regulate religious expression. The First Amendment specifies true religious freedom as the free exercise of religion. The Constitution does not protect freedom of worship only, but also the freedom to live out your faith in public life. For the Christian, religious conviction permeates all of life, with there being no separation between secular things and sacred things. For the biblical Christian, all of life is sacred and is to be lived to the glory of God. Freedom is an idea rooted in the hearts and minds of all. The wellspring of that ideal is the desire for self-determination. Any government seeking to deny freedom of conscience is attempting to lay the axe at the root of the tree of liberty, an abuse of power worthy of contempt. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
One of the best things we could do in Washington is limit their authority. Let's rein in all of what's coming out of Washington. And what does that create? An opportunity for people locally, on a state level, on a local level, to live their faith.
The Bible tells us that we are to not put our trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help.
Over 3/4 of Americans have said consistently that our nation is on the wrong track. This is a chance to turn it around.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.